Blog Talk Radio.
You're in the bullpen with Dr. T, hosted by Dr. Marvin Thompson, an empowering educator featured on CNN, PBS, CBS Morning Show, and the Oprah Winfrey Network. In the Bullpen with Dr. T covers the relevant issues of the day affecting our schools, families, and communities. Here's your host, Dr. T.
Good afternoon, everyone around the world listening to this show. I know it is highly unusual for me to do a show in the middle of the afternoon. We're usually Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, but today, I had to do it. And I'm going to tell you why. If you listen to the morning show, I open the show talking about the incident in New Jersey with the school resource officer. I characterize it as assault. Evidently, his superiors felt exactly the same way because they suspended this officer who got involved in an argument between two sisters at a school, and the principal came over, or a staff member of the school, came over to pull the officer off of the two girls. He was pulling their hair on top of them, punching them. The officer responded by shoving staff member away and getting back down to business. Let me tell you why I'm doing this show. It's not just about that. I covered that this morning. And I'm not here to convince anybody of anything. Let me make sure you understand that, because here's what I know about people and their thought patterns. You're either already there, you're trying to find out more, and now you can formulate an opinion, or you don't care. And that's fine. That's just where people are. As I always tell people, if they can crucify Jesus, who came here for your good, why are you worried that other people don't agree with you? So please don't get caught in your feelings over this. But evidently, that doesn't work with everyone. They feel as though their misguided thinking has to be projected on to others. And we call them, in the internet world, in the world of social media, we call it trolls, trolling. I call it keyboard cowboying, because usually they say what they need to say. Usually it's very disjointed, usually off topic, usually based on some belief with no facts, no basis in facts whatsoever. And it devolves into nothingness, and it literally becomes a waste of time. I normally ignore trolls, but in this instance, I couldn't, because this particular troll is a former police officer. I don't know if he's still on duty, on the job or not, but he wanted to make it clear to me that he wore this badge for 17 years, and I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, show to address trolling and a personal invite. So, Ben Trosher, if you're listening, brother, I invited you twice this morning, maybe three times or more. I invited you on the Facebook page, which you said to me, I'm at work. Well, it seems like it was funny. You had to go to work up until the last invite when I told you I would do a live show just for you. And you disappeared. Cowboys do. Did it surprise me? No. I'm used to trolls, but you wanted to defend the police officer, and in your initial statement, when that post was made, that these young girls deserved what they got for resisting. And see, that bothered me. Bothered me greatly. And it bothered me even more that tripled and quadrupled down on something with absolutely no facts to support it. Just your emotions. Just your 17 years of wearing the badge. Let me tell you why that statement is ridiculous. It's absurd. It's offensive. It's offensive in the times that we live in, with all the evidence of police shootings of unarmed citizens. Forget the color. Forget the race. Forget the demographic, economically, whatever. It happens. That you felt it okay to make a statement that is indicative of the very problems in our communities related to police relationships and the people they're supposed to serve. I just find it ridiculous. They deserve what they got for resisting. Everybody listening knows what is the one thing cops say as they pull the trigger. They were resisting. I feared for my life. So let's just deal with the resisting part. What you didn't do, Mr. Treasurer, and Mr. Retired police officer of 17 years, I guess you're retired, I don't know. That's why I invited you on. Whatever I say is inaccurate regarding you and your beliefs, attribute that to your lack of participation in a show in which you were invited to, one in which you began posting and trolling my page at 4 o'clock in the morning prior to the show I invited you on, during the show I invited you on. Didn't hear from you until the show ended. Yeah, man, that's a true keyboard cowboy. I'll come on and I'll say something after the show. So Lynn Trosher, brother, my friend, I'm doing this show just for you, man. 2 minutes. That's how much time is left. You can call in. The number, Lynn, is 515-602-9769. Let me tell you about me, Lynn, since you describe me as forceful. I kind of like that. Anybody who knows me would say the same thing. They probably would say passionate, committed. You know why, Lynn? My parents raised me that way, particularly my father, a 32-year sergeant major in the Marine Corps, who did things one way. Say what you mean. Mean what you say. I don't run, Lynn. I'm not a keyboard cowboy. When I say something, I say it. I mean it, right or wrong. I can be educated like anyone else. I can learn from others like anyone else. Matter of fact, I pride on it. Part of why I do the radio show. It is why I invite experts onto my show, particularly around school resource officers and their training. So, Lynn, if you didn't learn this morning, this is just for you, my friend. On this show, we have had police officers, deputy chief of police in some of the largest cities in this country. We've had police officers who are school resource officers, who train police officers. All of them acknowledge one thing. There is no formal training for these officers. And let me go a step further, Lynn. If you all remember the case of young Ryan Turk in Prince William County, Virginia, over a year and a half ago. Let me remind you, for those of you who missed that episode, because I had Ryan on my show twice. This is a young man who was arrested at school by his school resource officer playing a 65-cent carton of milk, which, by the way, was a free milk, so he didn't steal it. He also asked for permission to get the milk that he forgot and was given it. And the police officer decided to be a milk cop that day. Ultimately, through lots of hand-wringing and lots of pressure, particularly applied by this show, suspensions were dropped and the charges were dropped. I actually spoke to the Commonwealth's attorney about why they were pursuing this case. What was their protocol? What is it that they wanted to have? They did not nor could give me a good answer. And to their credit, they dropped the charges. Well, let me tell you what I discovered through my conversations with not only the district attorney, but also the police spokesperson, who, by the way, was very honest and forthcoming. In Virginia, prior to Ryan's incident, there was a law passed that limited the role of school resource officers, specifically telling them do not reinforce or enforce school policies. Not your job. That's not why we put you there. When I asked the school or the police officer, their spokesperson, if he was aware of that law, his response was, "What law is that? You sent it to me? No, we didn't know anything about that." You're kidding me, right? So, Lynn, when you want to speak to me and post on my page and double down, triple down, quadruple down, which again just wane after a while because you really didn't even support your thesis statement, which was, they deserve what they're getting for resisting. You negated the fact to acknowledge why he was even involved in it in the first place. You didn't even address the reasons why the girls were arguing. You did not address the role of the school resource officer in a supervisory position when he's in a school. Hey, bruh, let me give you some insight, Lynn. Trosher, he's in that school. He takes direction from the principal, not his police chief. You see, it's a collaborative effort. That's why they're in the school. That means the principal says, yes, no, do this, don't do that. The only input the officer has is when an actual crime is committed, like a felony. Where he's like, nope, principal, you're out of this. That's a felony, bro. I'm sorry, you're out. I don't know a self-respecting principal who would get in the way of that because that's an obstruction of justice charge. You stay out of that. It's a felony. Got to go. Everything else, Lynn, might want to do your homework, Junior. That's not at his discretion. When the principal intervenes, bruh, you stop. But evidently, this officer has your mentality, Lynn. He has the same mindset that you do. That badge overrides anything else. That authority, you know, ones that ends up getting unarmed people shot, justified because they were resisting. And that was your thesis statement, remember. Your very thesis statement. I didn't have to guess who you were. I didn't have to guess what you were talking about. It's very clear. Am I forceful enough for you, Lynn? Am I being direct enough for you, Lynn? The number is 515-602-9769. Don't tell me you're at work, because up until I invited you the last time, which was a half hour ago, you were at work. So you were keyboard cowboying the clock. Why stop now? I'm here. You're more than welcome to call in anytime you want to. We have 45 minutes left, and I'm going to leave it open just for you. In the meantime, I'm going to take a quick break, 2 minutes and 10 seconds, and we'll be right back.
Follow Dr. T on Twitter and Facebook at Dr. T Educate, and on the web, visit www.drteducate.com.
Top over all the men, just call him sir.
Welcome back to the Bullpen, your host, Dr. T.
All right, we are back, and we are talking about school resource officers, and specifically, I'm talking about trolling. Let me tell you why I'm talking about this. There's a line being drawn in the sand, and everybody needs to understand this. Our society is changing. Yes, there are some people who do not want to hear it. They don't want to face the reality that America is, in fact, changing. We are becoming a different nation. And we are seeing, I can't tell you, we are seeing these changes take place all over this country, and they are affecting our schools in every single way. I mentioned many times how demographics are changing, and I'm going to play for you, and this is for you, Lynn. Remember, I want to tell you, the name of my page is Dr. T Educate. By the way, Lynn, so you know, I didn't come up with that. If you can call in, I'll tell you who came up with it. I'll save that for when we talk online. I'll tell you where that came from. But I'm going to play for everybody. I played this before. I keep it on the board because it constantly comes up. These are facts. I don't care how you feel about it. These are facts. I'm going to get to trolling behavior after this. This is Dr. William Fry. Dr. William Fry is one of the premier demographers in the United States. He works for the Brookings Institute. In 2014, he wrote a book called Diversity Explosion. Great book. When I tell you it's a great book, it is grounded in nothing but facts. It was created 2010 census data. We are 3 years away from a new census. Next year, in 2018, we will have a field study census. It's the precursor. They're adding some field items to it. I actually had someone from that department come on the U.S. Census Bureau and talk about that in conjunction with the demographic changes. And I know on the face of it, the first thought is demographics comes to mind is race, but it isn't. The most significant change in demographics in the United States is the fact that we are aging. Yes, folks, you heard me. We're aging. Baby boomers are now the overwhelming majority of our society. And when you get into race, that aging demographic also stratified by race. I'm not going to let you hear it from me. I have three clips I'm going to play for you, all from Dr. Fry. So the first one I'm going to play is Dr. Fry talking about the demographic change overview in our nation.
The trend's still moving on, and these are new census projections, the first projections that were done since the 2010 census. And, you know, they confirm what a lot of us thought were happening, but it makes it look very, very vivid for people who were a little skeptical about how our changes were occurring in this country. And what it shows is that we have a continued growth of our minority population, and over the next 50 years, we're going to see a decline in our white population over the broad spectrum of these projections, which go from 2012 to 2060. We're going to see a 10% decline in our white population and more than doubling of our minority population. And so in the around the year 2043, it's about three decades from now, we're going to have nationally what you would call a majority-minority population. That would be more minorities than there are whites. And, you know, the bigger gains numerically are from Hispanics. There are still gains for blacks, although the growth rate isn't as high, but then Asians and people who are more than one race.
So the reason I played that is, in Mr. Trocher's comments, here's what part of trolling behavior. They never address the facts. They never address the issues. That's how you know you've got a troll. aside from them running when it matters. He basically, not basically, he said that I, and God knows, and if you think that highly of me, we need to really talk. But I was trying to divide the nation. I'm dividing the nation. So me alone is doing it. Not this president. Not this Republican Party. No, not, none of that. None of the white supremacists. None of the right-wing extremists. No. No, not at all. Just little old me. So what he was really speaking to is what Dr. Fry just talked about. Lynn shared that in one thing he said in his post was, you've never broken up a fight when you're standing around and people around you and they don't like you for the job that you do. I said this morning. Bruh, get off your high horse. It ain't about you, man. I have been a principal. As I said this morning, I don't know how many fights. And if you don't know by now that fights draw a crowd amongst teens, you must not have learned much in 17 years. That is the behavior of that population. It's a norm, Lynn. Again, totally, totally trolling. Won't stick to the facts, has to divert. Trolling behavior. So Lynn is speaking to the fact that he's a police officer, and in this country right now, they're under fire. Under fire for not having answering responses to the policing brutality that is becoming commonplace in this country. And let's not forget that many police departments around the nation have been under either Justice Department investigation or where I am, New Orleans, supervision because of corruption, because of extreme police brutality. So I'm sorry, that's just the truth. I don't care how you feel about it, it's just the truth. So you're speaking from your feelings. I understand it. But let's not digress into trying to characterize me and my motives in any other way. You heard Mr. Fry speak of the demographic changes. And yes, it is the driving the political undertones of this nation and, frankly, the emotional response that we're seeing. As it relates to education, very simply, we have a majority-minority school system in this country. 82% of the teachers and administrators in the United States today are white, where at least 60% of the student population are black, students of color. 4 out of 5 children born today, students of color. You want to test that? Get the book. Diversity Explosion by Dr. William Fry, Brookings Institute. Good book. So let me share with you why these school-based issues are surging. And I'm going to play for you Dr. Fry's take on the implications of the demographic changes in education.
Those new people need to be ready to plug into the kind of labor force that we need in to keep our economy going, a knowledge-based labor force, one that's globalized. And that goes hand in hand with how we're going to prepare our young, new minorities in the United States. And I think that's really an important challenge for us, because we know from a lot of the literature that a lot of the first and second generation immigrants don't have the levels of education that mainstream America used to have. They're improving. They're doing much better now than they were 10 years ago or 15 years ago, and their families are quite interested in getting ahead. But there's lots we have to do as a country, whether it's federal programs, state programs, local programs, to really focus. I think this is really an important national challenge for us.
And it is. He talked about the previous generations being educated. Let's not forget the history of education in America. I'm from Virginia, born, not raised. Remember what I said, my father was a Marine. So at the age of 7, I leave Virginia and head all the way to the West Coast, end up in Seattle. Then to Los Angeles, San Diego, back to the East Coast. In Virginia, my home state, they closed schools for 7 years rather than integrate. What happened to that population of African Americans for 7 years, they didn't go to school. While the white population created private schools, they grew. That's how private schools grew around the country. Know your history before you speak. We are still dealing with the ills of those problems. Make no mistake about it. We can talk about reform all you want to, but reforms have not produced results. Getting back to school resource officers. About the same time we integrated schools is the same time we saw police officers in schools. That grew. And again, they didn't have any guidelines. None. From the very day they were put in. Zero. And we're now in 2017, and it's only starting to change. So that's where I'm coming from. Where are you coming from? They were resisting. That's your thesis statement. That's your thesis. It's not good. Don't hold water. Just trolling your emotions. I'm going to say it one last time. Has no weight in this conversation in reality. Are your feelings real? Absolutely. But are they valid to you, but not the conversation about change? Absolutely not. You can sit back and watch, as you're doing now. Or you can go back to my page, understand, you will get no response from me because you show me what you're not. You're not a man who's willing to stand behind his convictions, right or wrong. I'm not having to guess. I'm here. You're not. I was here this morning. You were not. Last time, Lynn, I will still, anytime you want to, create a space for you and I to have this conversation. I'll be respectful as you'll be. But remember, I wasn't raised to sit and listen to garbage. I don't listen to emotional things when my mission in life is to help make a difference, however you feel about it. We're in a crisis situation, especially in education. My job has always been to make sure that these kids go home the same way they came to school and to help teachers and schools do that, because I firmly believe, otherwise I wouldn't do it, that they want the same thing. School resource officers, they have a very important role when done right. I have worked with them. I have trained them. I've collaborated with police chiefs and captains, received commendations for not only the way I worked with them, but developing policies and procedures that guided the district and the police department. So just because you don't know something, and obviously you don't, doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means you don't know. So that's reality. That's the reality of where we are. Now, what's being done and what should be done. We can go all day about the problems. I already said that. All over this country, there are communities who are rewriting laws, rewriting policies, and even beginning the discussions and looking at what impact their disciplines are having on young people. I mentioned this morning, I've referenced several times, a group in Chicago called the Voice Project. I love these people. I just had the opportunity to visit them 2 months ago. And I sat in on one of their sessions, and I listened to several young people tell me their experiences in school and what they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Some of them have been suspended. And folks, when I tell you some of the trauma that they dealt with, I'm a 54-year-old man with 2 grown children and a grandson. I've never had to deal with that. Would never wish that upon my child or anyone else's. It's not a condition of who they are. It's a condition of the environment they're in. But this was fascinating. As good as these young people were, the perceptions of those in the school building about who they were wasn't. So the responses to them and their bad days, their tough times, their absenteeism because a family member was killed, or they had to take care of a mother with AIDS, but they had to go and get medical assistance because of their AIDS condition. That's just a sample of some of what I heard. All true, all real. Some of them decided it wasn't worth it. They drop out. Tensions were high. That's what some of our young people are dealing with in our schools today amidst these demographic changes. They're dealing with teachers telling them not to speak Spanish in class, when in fact, that is one of the ways that they helps them learn English. By the way, I do know what I'm talking about because I ran a school that was predominantly English as second language learners. The 13th most changed school in America when everybody else thought it was failing. Did my kids speak Spanish? Matter of fact, they helped me learn something. Probably some curse words I didn't need to know, but anyhow, they did. It was fun. They embraced it. Why were they able to pass the test? Because they were able to associate their language with the transference of English words. It's critical. Even when we teach languages in our country, we don't even have conversational language development until year 3 or 4. So why would you expect somebody who just came to the country to automatically stop speaking Spanish? Yeah, there's a video out. I'll post it on my Facebook page. These are some of the attitudes that we're seeing today. Not divisive, responsive, forcibly so. We've seen a rash of schools forbid African-American students, girls, from either braiding their hair or wearing it naturally. By whose standard is that, Lynn? Am I dividing it, or is it right for schools to do that? What if I were in a predominantly black school and white kids came in and I said to white girls, no ponytails? Naturally responsive. Does the school have any right to tell someone what their natural look should and shouldn't be? And the excuse given, it's a distraction? Who's being divisive, Lynn? Own your shit. I don't mince words. I don't run. I don't hide. I'm going to tell you. We have 25 minutes left. You're welcome to come on. But I'm going to also say this, Lynn. If you don't type another word on the page. Not one, because if you try, I'm going to ban you. The next time I hear from you, if you do type anything, say, Dr. T, I'm available at this day to talk with you. I'd love to come on your show. If you can't do that, I don't want to hear from you. I don't have time for trolls. I put them away under the bridge where they belong. I said before, and I did a show about this. We're at a point where civil discourse is only relevant if you stay on the topic with the intent to understand and resolve it. We already know. You heard Dr. Fry. This nation is changing. It is aging, and it is changing demographically. And by the way, it is not just the United States. It is a global phenomenon. Globally. Whatever was cannot be. Whatever was cannot be. Relative to our schools, we have a population of young people who have had approaches in education that have not yielded universal success. As a matter of fact, the achievement gap is widening. There have been more studies in the last 10 years on teacher racial bias, and the reason that research was even embarked upon was because of the changing demographics. They already knew there may be something there. Yale University did a study 2 years ago, citing the fact, although preschoolers in many communities, minority preschoolers, made up a small population of student body were the most often suspended. What are you trying to tell me? Unless you're in Flint, Michigan, is there something in the water? No, my friend. It's time to face facts, Lynn. I'm not being divisive. I'm calling out divisive behavior. Let's put it on the table. Man up. Step up. And if you can't do that, just step away. Just step away. But do not bring that to me. I'm telling you. I'm calling you out directly because you are the one who wore a badge. You are the one who said they deserve what they get. My friend, that don't fly with me. Period. It's just that simple. But you know what's funny? As a police officer, you know, and by the way, you said to thank you for your service. Dude, I wouldn't thank you. You. I'm talking about you, not policemen. Let me make that clear. I'm talking to you. I would not thank you. Because you have already shown me you are not the type of officer I would want to meet, or my son to meet, or my daughter to meet, or any of my friends to meet who are children of color. Absolutely not. I wouldn't trust you as far as I could see you. And I can't see you. Hell, I can't even talk to you because you won't do it. So no, I'm not thanking you. Nope. I got it. 21 minutes left, Lynn. You can call in. I'm going to stay on up until the last minute. You can replay this all you want to. You can share it. You can tear it apart. You can write about it. You can tweet about it. You can Facebook about it. You can do whatever you want to do about it. But understand something. I'm still going to be here. And that keyboard is just for communicating. But I'm going to stick to the topic. I'm going to stick to the facts. I'm going to stick to the mission of trying to help make this a better place by giving people opportunities to deal with the real facts so they can make decisions and come to a better understanding of how their world is impacted. And maybe, Lynn, along the way, after you get over your hurt, your anger, your dissonance, that's how I'm going to define it. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say that your cultural dissonance is blinding you. I don't know, Lynn, because you won't talk. I don't want to project or make conjecture about what your full motivations are because, Lynn, I've offered, but you don't want to talk. You'd rather sit on my keyboard and type when I'm not on the air. Disappear when I'm on the air. And my bet is, here's my bet. I want everybody to hear this. Please stay on my page because I want to see what, and by the way, I want to see if after this show, because he needs time to think. It might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. It might even be this week. But I bet you he'll type something else after he's had time to think and maybe do some reading. Or maybe do some reflection. There are 10 types of trolls, according to Livewire. Number one, there's an insult troll. That's a person that's just a pure hate. They don't even really have to have a reason to hate or insult someone. They'll often pick on everyone and anyone, calling them names, accusing them of certain things, doing anything they can to get a negative emotional response from them, just because they can. Len, you're not getting a negative emotional response from me. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm calling you out on your shit. Number two, the persistent debate troll. Now, this type of troll loves a good argument. They can take a great, thoroughly researched and fact-based piece of content and come at it from all opposing discussion angles to challenge the message. They believe they're right and everyone else is wrong. You'll find them leaving long threads or arguments with other commentators in community comment sections, and they're always determined to have the last word, continuing to comment until all the other users give up. Then you've got the grammar and spell check troll. Yeah, I run into them every now and then. But you guys, if you're typing and you use Facebook, or you're especially if you're me, I've got 9 broken things. I've broken these things playing football for over 15 years, everything except my left thumb. If you get an erroneous message or see some typos, it's not my spelling, crappy fingers. And then you've got autocorrect. So there's a lot of reasons why people might have a grammar issue. That's okay. That's why you see me sometimes go back and you'll see me edit something because I'm like, oh, okay, missed that. Then there's a forever offended troll. Now, this is the person everything offends them. And no matter what you say, you're never going to engage in a conversation with them because it's not about the topic that you're talking about. It's a deep-seated need. This is me. It's a deep-seated issue. There's something missing somewhere, and they need that. And then there's number five, the show-off, the know-it-all, the blah, 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 blah. Okay, and this is a person who doesn't necessarily like to participate in arguments, but loves to share their opinion in extreme detail, even spreading rumors and secrets in some cases. I don't know, and I never encountered many of them, but they're out there. Then you got the profanity-laden, all caps troll. They're just obnoxious. I've never seen this, the one-word-only troll. They're the ones who just... when they say something, they'll say, laugh out loud, what, K, yes, no. I think that's pretty harmless. Then there's the exaggeration troll. It can be a combination of know-it-alls, the offended, and even debate trolls. They know how to take any topic or problem and completely blow it out of proportion. Some of them actually try to do it to be funny, and sometimes they succeed, while others just do it to be annoying. They rarely ever contribute any real value to a discussion, and often bring up problems and issues that may be unrelated. Starting to resonate. And then there's the off-the-topic troll. These, you got to hate these people. I do. Drives me up a wall. What the hell are you talking about? It's hard not to hate these people. They post something completely off-topic in any type of social community discussion. It can even be worse when that person succeeds in shifting topic, and everyone else ends up talking about whatever irrelevant thing he or she posted. Now, you see this quite a bit. I usually leave those threads. They become meaningless. And on my page, it's all about learning, giving information, and informing people so they can make their own decisions. Look at your opinion. You do whatever you want. My whole thing is, now you know. And then the last one, the speedy grammar troll, doesn't matter. Not a big deal. They're just like the grammar check. Well, those are the type of trolls. And when I look back on the post from Lynn Trosher, the former cop who said that the girls who were assaulted by the police officer in New Jersey deserved what they got because they were resisting, bruh, don't write on my page again. You got nothing to say. You're part of the problem. No, I am not part of the problem. I don't accept your assertion. It's not grounded in anything. You didn't even know I was an educator. You didn't even know I was a principal. Yet you said, I don't know what I'm talking about, and I've never broken up a fight. You're an idiot. What are you talking about? You make these statements for what? Nothing. I'm going to call you out on your bullshit. You don't know what you're talking about. 14 minutes and 42 seconds left, Lynn. 14 minutes and 30-some seconds. So, you're more than welcome to call in. I'm still here. Remember what I said. Call in today. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear what you have to say. When I say nothing, bruh, I mean nothing.
Follow Dr. T on Twitter and Facebook at Dr. T Educates, and on the web visit www.drteducates.com.
I'm going.
Welcome back to the Bullpen with your host, Dr. T.
All right, we are back. Trolling for truth. We live in a world today that is, I'm telling you folks, when we say that the lines are blurred about truth and emotions, and sometimes people think that their emotions are truth, and they're right. It is true how you feel about something. Nobody can deny that. Nobody should deny you that. But in a conversation, and this is how seriously I take education, always have. One of the best compliments I received from two state superintendents, whom I worked for. One, rest in peace, Bill Boscher. You can Google him. Great man. Passed away a couple of years ago. Gave me my very first principalship. He was one of my mentors. And one of the things he said to me was, I love how you don't back down. I wish more people fought for kids the way you do. All kids. All kids. Years later, when I was a superintendent, I was hosting an event in my town, and the state superintendent was there. He was also my mentor, my official mentor. And he introduced me as the most passionate educator he'd ever met. His name is Dr. Billy Kennedy. He's now director of continuing learning studies at the University of Virginia. And Billy, if you're listening, I hope you're doing well, and I miss you, brother. These are just two of the mentors I've had in my lifetime. Three of them have been state superintendents. I can't leave out Jo Lynn DeMary. She was great. She actually put me on the task force to help rewrite the school improvement and leadership standards for the state of Virginia, which is now here in Louisiana. They bought it, as other states. It's good. It's a shame people don't follow them, but they're good. In a world where you're trying to make a difference, and I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about all the educators out in the world and the parents who are looking to make the environments where their kids go to school better, we don't need Lynn Trochers. We don't need you, Lynn. As a matter of fact, let me put it very clearly, without any room for you misunderstanding what I'm saying. We don't need people who think that kids who are being assaulted by a police officer, who pushes away a school official, who is in fact a supervisor in that setting, that it's okay because these kids were resisting, who doesn't have the foresight to examine the situation in totality. No, sir. Who then devolves his conversation assertions grounded in no knowledge whatsoever. My first thought was, who the hell is this guy? What is he even talking about? No, sir, we don't need it in these conversations. Am I forceful? You damn Skippy, I am. Yes, Lynn, that was one of the best compliments you could have given me. I accept it fully. Am I divisive? Yes. Want to deal with truth, I don't want to hear from you. I have no talk for you. That's not anger. That's just, it benefits me nothing. It doesn't benefit the people I'm working for, on behalf of, or with. So, no. I don't mind turning my back. So you're not used to that. And see, I think we live in where it just wastes conversation. You see, Lynn, I'm 54 years old. I was born in the 60s. I watched engagement. I watched placating. I've listened to the paternal tones of the majority in situations like this. And you just exemplified it by trying to, what, define me based on your feelings? Bruh, really? That's what 12-year-olds do. Because I used to teach 12-year-olds. That's what they do. You're kidding me, right? And you see, it's also indicative of what we're seeing in our police force, people responding with their emotions. with their biases, or minimally their cultural dissonance. We move away from community policing. They don't walk the beat anymore. They ride around in their cars. They're armored with tanks. As Radley Balco defines them, they're warrior cops. We are hiring police officers who are coming off more police officers than ever, because we've been at war for almost 20 years now. Where did our police force come from? They come from the military. Come from a military that's been at war for 20 years. Anybody ever thought about that? Is it a surprise that they need their toys so they can feel comfortable? You know, the last environment they just left. And when you put them in schools and you provide no training, what do you think you're going to get? And even if that officer did not serve during that time, is he not in a culture with the majority of officers who did? Would he not assimilate? Please. Until you have answers to those questions, because they are valid questions. Very valid. Not just posed by me, posed by many. Many. So I don't want to hear it. I make no apologies. I make no adjustments other than I won't speak to your motivations because I haven't spoken to you. I figured out I don't do trolls. So I want to make that clear. I don't usually do a special show. I stop what I was doing to make sure I put it into this, because it's not even fair to the people who want to hear what's done. You offer no solutions. You offer no facts. You offer no dialogue. And if you listened to my show this morning, I was very clear. So, pretty much done. 4 minutes and 48 seconds. I already know I'm calling in. We're not going to hear from him. Let it be the last time, and I do mean the last time, anybody thinks that you're helping by sharing your feelings only. Your feelings are valid if you can support them with facts that address the issue at hand. It's just that simple. Well, I guess there's no sense in waiting. I said I was going to wait till the last minute, because here's what I don't want to have happen. I don't want him to type on my page, "Well, I was going to call in because it popped up, but you were off in the last minute. I thought you said you were going to hang on." Dude, I'm going to wait till the last 20 seconds, because that's how long the playout is on this song. 20 seconds. There's 3 minutes and 42 seconds from now. I'm going to stay right here. We talked about discipline in our schools this morning, and we talked about processes. Yes, just as the demographics in our society change, we can anticipate that there's going to be change from those in the workforce. They're not used to that. This is why people have, so they get to understand the communities that they work in for the first time. You see, this is the first time they've had to do that. To be a new accountability. There are going to be new voices. People need to accept that. This is where we are. We're in the middle of people not accepting the fact that there are new, louder, yes, forceful voices who do not want and will not tolerate the patterns of the past. I don't know what's hard to accept about that, except if you're on the side who doesn't give a shit, doesn't care. If you don't give a damn, then stay quiet and don't give a damn in Europe, but do not project your lack of care, your cultural bias towards me specifically and particularly in any paternalistic tone, as if, get out of here, as if, ain't gonna happen here, Junior. Wrong man, wrong time, wrong place. Troll somewhere else or come on the show and show me who you are, what your real meaning is. If I'm wrong, I'll take everything back. But I doubt it. You know why? Because you're not here. You troll me this morning, 4 o'clock, up until showtime, disappeared. When the show ended, you came back. I'm doing a special show. You're absent. Please, man. Columbo can see what's happening here. So you guys ever see an poster on your page? Know who you're dealing with. Know who you're dealing with. I'm not that dude. I'm not that negro. I'm not that man. We have 1 minute. We're at the exactly 1 minute mark. My man, my word, Lynn, I don't run. I go toe to toe all day. Hey, pack a lunch. Read a book. Pick up an article. They do have the internet. It has been wonderful. I love you. Thank you guys for listening in, and thank those of you who encourage or attempted to encourage Lynn to come on. I appreciate it, because it, look, you can't resolve it if you just run and hide. So we're done there. Final words. I will see you guys Monday. Have a great rest of the week and weekend.
You've been in the bullpen with Dr. T. Follow Dr. T on Twitter and Facebook at Dr. T Educate, and on the web, visit www.drteducate.com. Join us every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern in the bullpen with Dr. T. Become empowered. Get involved.